Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Healing Light Show. It's Saturday, April 27th, 2013. I want to welcome everybody to the Healing Light Show. We didn't have one this Thursday. My lawn care service is starting up, and I'm trying to get everything where I can have the show without trying to rush and all that, where I can take my time with the show and really give the Word of God that y'all really need instead of trying to be in a rush or anything. So I want to be comfortable when I'm doing the show. I don't want to have to be have to get up and have to run out or anything. So we're here today, and today I had a little time off. I didn't have to mow today, so I put together a good show for y'all today. And the show's title is It All Starts With God. Everything in our lives was started with God. Before we was born, it was started with God. The world don't want you to know that. They want you to think it started with you. With the ego, what all you want, what all you can get, that, God is nothing but a great big old, genie. He gives you what you want, and he wants you just to relax and happiness and jump around. Well, he does want you to be happy, and he does wish the best for you, but he created you for a purpose, not to go around and use him for a genie and just me, me, me. You wasn't created for you, down plain and simple. You was not created for you. You was only created for the purpose of God. You was designed to be a walking form for God to use you for his purpose, for him to enjoy his plants and his planet for his purpose, to be joyful in himself is what you was created for. You was not created for the ego to take over you, or I say the negative part of this world to take over you and control you and use it for its own, you know, manipulative ways and its own wicked stuff. It was only here for a purpose where we could learn, where, you know, we would have a game where we would have the bad guy and the good guy, but not for the bad guy to take over. So when God created, you know, the yin-yang there, it does say that, you know, it was created all for good, and that's true. But, I mean, I can't say biblically that all this is true, what I'm saying here, but what I feel that the divine was putting together was he was putting the ultimate game for this world, the ultimate game for this world, where he can love himself, find himself no matter what, find himself no matter what, no matter what the circumstances is, he can find himself in love and see himself in glory, no matter what the circumstances, and he set up this game field. But we have came down here, he sent us down here, and a lot of us has actually got lost in the game. And the controller, the God, you know, God that's within everything, creator, we have locked him down where he can't lead us. So it's kind of like a Pac-Man game. It's kind of like, you know, you got the joystick and you're guiding the Pac-Man. Just think of the little Pac-Man in a video game who just decided to do his own thing. And you're like, hey, man, I can't win this game because he's going everywhere. He's talking to the ghost. He's going everywhere. You know, you'd be kind of freaked out. That's kind of how God feels. You took over your own thing that he can, you know, that he's designed you for. He's designed to live through you, but you don't want him to live through you. You want to do your own thing, and you only want him to be your genie and give you whatever you want, like a little spoiled child. And trust me, I've got plenty of children, so I know about the children being spoiled. And I know how hard it is to break children out of that. It's very hard. And sometimes you go to use many different ways to break them out of that. And if you don't break them out of being spoiled, when they grow up, they end up doing bad things. They end up going to jail. They think everything's there, so they go in the store, start shoplifting, and it just turns out real nasty. And a lot of folks believe, you know, that the children do what they want to. Well, if God wanted us to do what we wanted to, the Bible wouldn't have been created. He wouldn't have had no laws. He wouldn't have had nothing. And if you put a child out on his own and don't teach anything, you'll see what happens. A lot of folks will say, well, it's already written inside of you. Well, he wouldn't have written the law if it was already written inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit is what puts the laws in you. When you see, he makes it where you're old enough to accept the Holy Spirit. Well, you'll use your free will to do that. It's up to you. It's all a game plan to see what's going to happen, what you're going to do. Now, the Holy Spirit is dormant in you. It's not turned on yet, but when Christ comes into your life and wakes the Holy Spirit up where it's not dormant anymore, and you start living for God, then you start seeing your life opening up. That's why it's very, very, see, we was born with sin. A lot of folks don't tell you that. All the DNA, all the bad stuff your mom and dad did, all your ancestors is in your DNA. So when you was put in this form, all those bad choices in that DNA was already in your body, okay? Your soul was pure. It came from God. It's a part of God's body. It came from God, okay? But your body was created down here on this earth plane with all the mistakes, you know, our ancestors made us there. So our body was already designed to make mistakes because Adam and Eve, you know, all that good stuff that they just didn't, you know, they didn't listen to God, this and that. It's in the gene pool too. So our body has all the mistakes already written in it. So when the soul, pure soul goes in and we just don't pay no attention to the soul. We just go by what the body's showing us, the mind and all the stuff we pick up around on earth. We're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to go the wrong way. We're going to go what we was created for, okay? So that's why we need the Word of God. We need God to come within us and waken us up where we can become a fully developed human. A fully developed human was made for God to walk in man. We was created for him to walk in us. The original plans was we was created to walk in us. And I've got, it says biblically here in Corinthians, it talks about this. Corinthians 1, verse 16, says, he is the image of the invisible, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things was created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwelling in him, and thought him to cancel to himself in all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, to making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus was the original example of the way we're supposed to look. So he had to send Jesus, the full awakening Christ, Yeshua, and shed his blood to make the things right. Because once he created this game, the ego, Satan came down and started doing his thing and trying to add a little bit more extra to the punch. He had to make things right with Jesus' blood. He had to send the perfect son down. When he sent the perfect son down, he revealed to us what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a walking being of God. Okay? So when he died on the cross, he broke all those chains to the demonic beings and all this stuff. For he could cleanse that. He can set things straight where we can walk and embody the Spirit of God working through us. So without him, we wouldn't have no way of knowing how things are supposed to be. For in Jesus, God lived and thrived and spoke to us. See, that's what we was actually created for in the garden. We was built for God to live and thrive through us. See, when we accept Christ, we let God cleanse us and thrive through us. The more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the more we start to see how a divine being acts, where we can thrive. The more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the more the divine God can live through us. And very soon, you start seeing the image of Christ and seeing how he lived his life, you'll start reflecting that. You'll start reflecting his ways. You start reflecting his glory. And so when you start reflecting his glory, people will get healed around you. People will, the Holy Spirit will testify to people through you. Not only through your mouth, but just off the grace that hangs on you, hangs on your aura. His grace will stick on other people and start testifying and saving them. So that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to live through you. He wants to minister through you. But you just got to give him a chance. We was all designed for him to live through us. I've been reading this book, which I found at in-laws. It's called The Purpose for Divine Given Life, and I think it's a very good book. And I've been reading a little bit each day. And it says in here, it says, Unless you assume a God, the question of life purpose is meaningless. If you don't assume God, the question of your life is meaningless, because what's the reason? Why are you even here? God. Simple. So it also says, it says, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and your creations. Even if you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose, for His purpose. The search for this purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. That's because we typically begin at the wrong starting point, ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals? What are my ambitions, my dreams for my future? But focusing on ourselves, we will never reveal our life purpose. The Bible says it is God who directs the lives of His creations, and His creations. Everyone's life is in His power. Contrary to what many popular books and movies, seminars tell you, you won't discover your life's meaning by looking within in yourself. You'll probably tried it already, which I kind of disagree with that. You can find a lot of questions within yourself. You don't create yourself, so there is no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. So I do agree with that one. You did not create yourself. God created you for a specific person, not specific person, but for a specific purpose here on earth, to be a father or be a mother or be a brother to these folks that you're living around. The things that you're doing in their life is very important for their purpose. The very things that you're doing for your workplace is very important to the big plan. So everything is like a movie script. Everything in the movie script's got to go perfect for the movie to go right. If one character is out of movie script, it messes the whole thing up. There's leading roles in all the movie script that God's creating here. You have a leading role in your life, for your parents, for your mom, for your children. Your parents also has a leading role too. There's always leading roles in your life. So you're very important to your purpose. God is working through you to help your parents, help your mom, help your wife, help your children, or help your husband, if you're a lady. He's working through you to help him, help your children. See? And all books, I'm not really, except for the Bible, I do agree with all of that. And I do know that, you know, some of the disciples was, you know, still trying to understand Jesus through their writings, and I understand that. But I know that God used them for a specific purpose to talk to us, and I respect all that the Bible says. But I do disagree with some of these people who write books. Books have great points to them. This book has a great point. But unless you've lived this life with the Spirit of God fully living within you, you can't understand it. I have went through things, through spiritual processes and spiritual learning and all this stuff, that God is a part of us. How can He control if He's not a part of us? He's got to be in us somewhere, right? But it's up to us to look for Him, you know? See, we're letting the computer control this body, not God. We're letting the brain, the computer, control this body, right? So when we let God take over, for like I'm talking, your purpose was for Him to show you your purpose. And once we find God, once we find let the Lord in our life and reveal himself within us, then our purpose is revealed to us. We'll feel moved to being a teacher. We'll be filled to be a prophet. We'll be feeling a way to do the business for the church, you know, to help take care of the books, help take care of children. No matter what, you know, whatever, the Holy Spirit has a purpose for you, he will reveal it to you in one sort of way. He might not jump out, well, you're going to be a teacher, you know, but you'll keep on being thrown in front of kids to teach them. You'll keep on getting offers to help the Sunday school, or you'll keep on being asked to teach a Bible study, something like that. But your purpose will be revealed to you, and you will see it. You will see it. You will feel that drawing to it. You'll feel that drawing to it. And that's not all the different rules. There's many things. It's like if you're a cook, maybe you'll be drawn to cook for the church or do a cookout or something. I don't know. But, you know, there's many things. And maybe, you know, bring food to the shut-ins. They are elderly people that can't cook anymore. Maybe you're pulled to send food to the shut-ins, help Meals on Wheels or something like that. But you never know what it is. But there is a purpose. There is a place for you. And even in your job place. Ministry don't stop at church. It starts everywhere. At your job place is a good place to minister. I minister to people while I'm mowing grass. I mean, I get a new customer I mow for, and I minister to them. The Lord will tell me to say something to them, and I will speak to them. They know I'm a minister, and I tell them that. But you don't got to be a minister just to minister to people. You can be anybody. Christ loves to work through everybody. He will minister through you, to your friends, to your parents, to your mom. He will use you. And I've saw that thousands of times. So, you know, don't never think that you can't be used by God, because he's using you probably now and you don't even realize it. Probably now and you don't even realize it. That's one thing. Always give God a chance to minister through you. And if he does reveal something to you, or ask, you know, point you to do something for somebody, don't turn him down. Do not turn him down. Go for it. Go for it. That's all I'm going to be talking about, you know, your life purpose right now. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to do a prayer for healing for any folks on here today that needs a healing, needs a move of God in their lives, that needs God to really get their life rolling at this point in their life. So I ask everybody to bow their heads at this time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this show today. I thank you for bringing these folks to this show today. In your name, Heavenly Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to all these people listening to this show today, and all the ones that's going to be listening in the future on podcasts. I ask you to bring healing towards these people. Ask you to bring healing towards their families. If there's a situation in their family that's, if there's demonic forces in their family that's messing with their family, ask you to cast these out in Jesus' name. These things leave. Ask for the king, the authority, demonic authority that has their grips on this family. In Jesus' name, I cast you out. I behead you and throw you from your throne. By the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, I show the cross. I command you to leave. I command you to fall. Fall, demonic king. Fall. In Jesus' name, I command you to fall. And lift off of these families. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask for all this to be done. I ask for all the folks that's got cancers and stuff. I ask in your name, Jesus, Heavenly Father, I ask you to remove these things off of these folks. Ask for the spirit of cancer to be removed in Jesus' name. for this disease to the root core of this disease. I ask it to be bound and cast out in Jesus' name. Ask it for it to leave this person, to die in Jesus' name and no longer be around, to not affect anybody else. Ask this in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for doing all this. I also ask you to all the elderly people that don't have nobody, I ask you to send people their way to help them, to bring them friendship, to bring them love and support. Ask for the mother that is, you know, it's all by herself raising her kid. I ask you to bring a partner into her, a loving partner, one that you want her to have, to give her friendship, to give her a partner, to give her love, to be very loving to her and gracious to her. I ask this in Jesus' name, to bring this person towards them, or bring the community to her to help her out with her kids. Ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Ask for anybody that has any illnesses, any leg problems, all this. I cast the demonic spirits off of them in Jesus' name for them to leave now. I cast them out. Ask for the grace of Jesus to come over these folks and fill them with his glory. I ask you, Father, to heal all of these folks. Make sure your grace is among them. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for all of this. As for the person that don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in you, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit among them. If there's a person in one of my audience's families that don't believe in you, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to them and to testify to them, to work within them, to draw them to you, Lord Jesus. I ask this in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for this. I thank you for all of these, this audience. I thank you for listening. Thank you for having them to listen to me. Now, I thank you for having me to be able to minister to them. It's a great love and joy in my life to minister to other folks. And I also thank you for all the things that you've given us, all the things that you've revealed to us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for our families. I thank you for our husbands, our wives. I thank you for our children. I thank you for our cars, our jobs. Ask you if an audience member don't have a job, I ask you to bring them a job and work and money and all that in Jesus' name. But I do thank you for everything. I thank you for life every day. I thank you for giving us the chance for you to live through us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do something that I normally do. I don't really got a whole lot of time, but if anybody wants to accept Christ right now, they can. Just put your hand up and say, I ask this in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I ask you to live within my heart. I accept you into my heart at this time. I thank you, Lord. I can't do this no more. I want you to come within me and lead me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus, for coming within my heart and guiding me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and close this show today. It's about over with. I want to thank everyone of y'all for joining me today, and I will post on Facebook when I have a next show. It probably be on a Thursday, next Thursday, and I'll have a new title for what I'm going to talk about. But I want to thank y'all very, very much for joining in today, and I hope y'all come back. God bless every one of y'all. Y'all have a great week.